Well, that's the best quintet I've ever heard in my life. I never thought I'd have the privilege of singing in a quintet. And this has really been a blessing. Everybody's singing in tune. And, okay, well, let's go and turn this contraption on if it'll start. Hope it will. And well, if you would, just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 for now. And, okay, I'll get this thing lined up here. Okay. And this is the Apostle Paul. And this is his relationship between a missionary and a local church, especially where he planted a church, and people that were supporting him in prayer. And that's why I'm very thankful for Pastor Ox here, so that he has got missionaries, he's missionary-minded, letters on these walls here. You have a world vision and a vision for people that are dying and going to hell, besides just here in Eaton, Africa, Asia, Europe, America, and so on and so forth. So Paul says here, ye also helping together by prayer for us. So that's help. And that's a big word, help, right there, because money can't stop bombs, but prayer can. You see, prayer is where God's hand moves. And whether it's a young boy, young girl, middle-aged man or woman, or an elderly person, God hears prayers. And we got a book here showing us the history of how God answers prayers. And that's vital. He also helped together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us, I guess that'd be the gift of prayer, by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So, my name is Perry Demopoulos. I was saved in 1983. I was a Greek Orthodox. I was practicing Buddhism for 1 year before I got saved in 1983 at the age of 26. 9 years later, I found myself on former Soviet turf. There's Russia and Ukraine and Eastern Europe. And so I was over there as a single man, and I found my wife over there after 1 year. And that's Galia right there, and our second daughter, Rachel, my first, last daughter, Anna. And you'll see some pictures of my first daughter, Naomi. She's married to a fellow from Knoxville who's also serving and helping us out there in Ukraine, which is a blessing and a half. And so that's Ukraine. You see the outer countries, and the troops were gathering in Belarus. That's the brown country right there, and they came straight down. But we didn't expect bombs, and when you hear at 5 o'clock in the morning an explosion going off, that'll rattle your cage. And the earth shakes real bad, and it's like four or five lightning bolts hitting right over your head. And you hear throughout the day, ooh, you know, the old siren, World War II siren. You know, when you watch these bombs and the Allies bombing Berlin and stuff, and well, that's what's going on in different parts of the country. We'll show you some slides here. And this is one of the verses that spoke to my heart. You know, the Lord can still speak to you through His Word, okay? No matter what it is, the Lord wants to talk to you and me. So that verse was one of the verses that tied the rag in the bush for me to go to Ukraine when I saw... let's go back. That verse right there. And you see the word Scythian there in Colossians chapter 2, 3, verse 11. And from that you get the word scythe, and thus the sickle. Scythe is something that cuts down the harvest, you know, the crop. And there's your sickle. And the quotation on the very bottom there, this is Lenin. The way to destroy the middle class is to crush it between the grindstones of taxation and inflation. Do we notice that going on right now? And so that's the plan of your communist left-wingers, liberals. Okay, let's go here. It doesn't want to go. Let's click it again. Doesn't want to go. Next. Okay. Well, these are some of the pictures. That's a bunch of dead army tanks just blown to bits. That was took place right there. And we live right over here in Kiev. So, and we had a church going right there next to where the hottest war began, right there, 2.5 years ago. And one of the ladies from a church that we started there outside of Kiev, her house was targeted by a tank, and it was blown to smithereens. So it makes life very difficult. There's what this looks like, just total destruction everywhere. A bunch of dead bodies laying around here. And if you look up Bucha, it's a massacre where it's just 10 minutes from Gorinka. That's where we started a church just outside of Kiev. Besides, we do have a church in Kiev. And it's on the northwest corner of the city of Kiev right there. And so that was a very, very... And we just got word, one of the brethren today from western Ukraine, right next to Poland, he called us up. They were hiding in the corridor of their apartment complex because once rockets hit, it can do a lot of destruction on the walls and blow out all the windows, so you have to hide in the corridor of the apartment complex. So, so who's behind the war? Now, sister here asked, why is this war... How long is it going to go on for? Well, only the Lord knows that. And when he says it's over, it's over. And there's good reason why it's still going on. Because he wants a retribution of all the Jews that have been killed in those northern territories, because those are Gog and Magog territories. You've heard of Gog and Magog. Well, that's the north. Those are the northern territories. When you hear Gog and Magog, you'll see the faces of Gogites and Magogites. To where I've been called. And so, but who's behind the wars? It would take a while to explain, but if you look at John 18 and 19, you see that the Pharisees and the high priests were the one that sent the soldiers with weapons. So weaponry today, back then, would be sticks, and they call them engines, and they're shooting out stones. Weaponry today is drones, rockets, bombs, nuclear weapons, and so on and so forth. It's just a general term that the Lord used back then, and it's very up to date. So you see the high priests there from the eastern branch of the whore. I'm sure Pastor David has mentioned about Revelation 18, 17 and 18. You have the mother of harlots, and it's a city that sits on the kings of the whole earth, not just some of the kings. It includes Biden, NATO, and so on and so forth. And so the West is the Roman Catholic system, and the East is the Orthodox system. You got your Russian Orthodox, you got your Greek Orthodox, you got your Romanian Orthodox, Ukrainian Orthodox, and so on and so forth. Okay, so first on the docket for us was the Bible. That right there is our first edition of the King James Bible in Russian. You'll see it on the table back there. When you walked in, it was back there. And plus, we are working on now the Ukrainian translation of the King James Bible, and that is the way you're supposed to do it. You don't skip the King James to go back to a dead language. You're up to date. The Lord is up to date. So the King James Bible is in the international language of English. So English is a living language. And if a Greek is the living language, then we all should be on the street preaching about Gehenna and not about hell. But who preaches on Gehenna? That's the dead Greek language, okay? All right, so there is our sixth edition. We're getting it imported from to New York City, and from New York City, we'll get them shipped to Pensacola, and the shipment's coming to New York City on October 9th. So we're waiting for a sixth edition, and in the lower left-hand corner is the Ukrainian New Testament with the wisdom books. So... And these are some of the people that received the Ukrainian text, King James Ukrainian text. We've got people all across the country that receive boxes from my son-in-law who's got that ministry. These are some of the people that received the text, New Testament, John's and Romans. 2 Timothy 2:2 is a very key, important verse. We've been training men for 25 years, Bible Institute classes. And so I'm very thankful that some of these men... A lot of these men are across the country. You got a draft bracket from 25 to 60. And they're still drafting, they're drafting those that get killed. They got to draft more, and more get killed. They got to draft more. So it's a conveyor of a genocide. Let's put it that way. And you see there, what it was back in 2011, but we started a 1995 Bible Institute classes, and we've been teaching many of these men, and most of them are men, you see that? And this was just 2.5 years ago. He's in uniform right now. Oh, you know what? I was probably standing in the way. Okay, let me go on over this side. Okay. And these are some of the horses. The very tall man back there, he wants to be a missionary to the Republic of Georgia. And you'll see another brother that's already a missionary sent out of our church. This is our Bible Institute classes. This brother right here is in Asheville, North Carolina. He was in Odessa. Odessa got hit pretty bad, too. That's a port city, the southern part of Ukraine, not too far from Yalta, where Roosevelt and Stalin and Churchill, they met. Okay? And he's from Russia. He just preached for us. We have a Zoom session every Wednesday and Sunday. Central time, well, today, Wednesday, 12 o'clock this Eastern time, and then it would be 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings for them over there, and they're 7 hours ahead of us from here. And we've got some coming from Russia, from Kazakhstan. This brother's in uniform right now. He's serving. He's in uniform serving. He doesn't need to serve because he's got enough children where the government doesn't touch a guy that's got over 4 children. He wants to be a missionary to the Republic of Georgia. He is now serving in Asheville, North Carolina. He is in Louisiana, but he served many years. He works for the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. He's the European rep. He's out of our church in Kiev. There's my son-in-law, David Lohman, from Knoxville, Tennessee. His father is a good Bible teacher at Berea Baptist Church in Knoxville. This brother here lives 2 hours away from our church. He'd come on a Saturday evening on a train, sleep overnight in our church to be there for service on Sunday. And Magog and Magog, and these are some of the men. The guy second to the right, Alexander, he's serving, that's his boy. And they're right in an apartment complex, and the tanks would come in and they're shooting each other. And these are pictures of men that we've trained. We've trained them to preach. Paul said, I have been with you at all seasons, Acts 20, verse 18. So Ukraine is located where, like, Montreal is located in Canada. That's how far north Ukraine is, and it gets cold, but during the winters we'd preach springtime, summer, fall, winter. For 29 years we've been doing that, and we've seen millions of people walking by us and get tracts, they get free literature, we preach to them, they see the banners out in the street. Now this is just recently. He says, go into all the world, teach all nations, and you know, so we got a brother here that's preaching. This is soul winning. And our youth camp in the summers, every year, there's David right there, and a fellow, a national right there, helping him out. And our literature that we get, the Bible says, great was the company of those that published it. So that's a batch of literature we got. And this is David's ministry. We pass out, he sends out John's and Romans, tracts and other literature to Ukraine, Germany, Canada, Kazakhstan, all across America, Eastern Europe. And so now we're doing that from Pensacola, since that's where we're at now. Baptisms, we have baptisms every year. We've always baptized people. This is a small group that came out, some young men that got baptized. This is a group of men. The pastor is Mikhail, that's Michael. Mikhail in Russian, that's his wife there. They're in their apartment, and this fella, Igor, he's been translating what is called the Bible Believers Bulletin, published by Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. And that guy right there, he just sent me the next issue. He'd been doing that for 14 years every month of the Bible Believers Bulletin. And this is a tent that we pull in a trailer, and I go with a band of men, nationals. This fellow here is from Poland. He wanted us to train him how to do tent meetings. And so God gave us 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. You see the word reach there, reached. And so we travel the country with that kind of a tent. That's our third tent. And this is another brother, Sasha. We started a church for him in a tent about 3 hours south of Kiev. And this is some of the tent meetings. Some young men came forward to get saved. There's the building that he's in right now. This is our correspondence course. We have two correspondence courses. This is one lady to fulfill the correspondence course. More men that we travel with and preach with. There's our internet radio, Good Fight of Faith. Now, what you see in these bold letters here, I'll say that to you in Russian, and it means good fight of faith. Доброе сражение веры. Did you get that? Okay. All right. Then we got another radio ministry, but this is from an internet radio. This is from a real radio tower. Okay? That brother is a Russian Jew that's living in Portland, and he started his radio program out there in Portland, Oregon. And he got a hold of our Russian translation of the King James Bible. And so he's got two towers, one in Portland and one in Riga, Latvia. And that covers Baltic states, Finland, and parts of Russia. So we're asking the Lord to help us supply the needs for the funds for 8 more months for a full year of broadcasting and continue to minister. And this is one of the men you saw at the Bible Institute with his gun next to the Bible. And there's one of his members preaching out there in the street. That's what the church looks like from time to time when he gets humanitarian help. They come, he preaches to them. There's the gospel tracts. They got our Johns and Romans right there. These are people that wanted to get saved. He gave an invitation for salvation. Youth love the tracts. There's another congregation. This brother right here is another brother that we've trained. Now he's letting someone else teach the Word of God, so that's like third generation of teaching others. This brother on the far right, he's the one that from Lviv, that's western Ukraine, right next to Poland. They got hit last night. And you see here, this little arrow pointing to, it's called Transnistria or Prednistrovia. That's all a Russian country right there. And it's a population of 517,000, almost 518,000. And this brother right here got a hold of all of our lessons. That's his wife and his children. They print out our track, our correspondence course. And these are all of the members in the church. So he's got like over 20 people taking our correspondence. He's taking them through each lesson. And there's 48 lessons in the course. So I'm really thankful for that. Okay, we're coming to the wire here. This is the roads. And this part, certain part of the city that got hit real bad. And some of the roads, they bombed the major, major highways. And that's what that was one of the roads that someone told us to take so we wouldn't take the major highway. We got to the border, and it was a 10-mile long line, and it took us 3 days and 3 nights before we could get out of the country. We were living in our van that way. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. So that was Isaiah, a volunteer. He said, Lord, here am I, send me. And Hudson Taylor, he had a vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. That's why we need to still continue to get the word of God out, sow the word. You never know what the Lord can do with the word of God. And so the harvest is plenteous, and the laborers are few. And again, prayer. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we thank you for the opportunity to minister and over there in Ukraine, churches that support us, pray for us. And if y'all have any questions, just feel free to ask. So anybody got a quick question before I close this thing here? Well, it was about 43, 44. I'd say it's a whole lot less now. It's probably 30-something, 30, 35, no, maybe 38, 39 million. Oh, the death toll? Oh, I couldn't tell you. But there's a lot dying because we talk to people in various parts of the country and they, you know, they see that they're hauling in another body, carrying it out because of, you know, a funeral and this and that and the other. So, you know, it's a pretty sad scene. A lot of people are dying. Some say it's a genocide, planned genocide. And, you know, to answer the question, why the war? That is a retribution of the anti-Semitism that has gone on through many, many, many years. Love of money is the root of all evil. You've got Jewish apostates that lend to international bankers, Jewish apostate international bankers, that put countries in debt. And so war is a good commodity to make a lot of money. And Jews that are apostate, they don't care how they make the money. They're going to make the money. And so a lot of Jews were killed in Ukraine, and a lot of the government of Ukraine gave the okay. And so what you're seeing is the retribution with that war. That's the Lord, like he used Titus in 70 AD, and he used Nebuchadnezzar. He used Titus, a Gentile king, to get the Jews out of the land. That's why you have Jews here in America, is because of their disobedience. So God uses a world power like Titus, 70 AD, to kick them out of their country because they were not obedient to God. And they killed their Messiah. Of course, that was in God's plan that he would die anyway. So the Lord uses many things all at one time and orchestrates this thing while it's absolutely under control by our Savior. I mean, he's not up there pacing. He's sitting down. He's praying and interceding for us, for you and me. And so now he used Nebuchadnezzar, and after that Cyrus, and after that, Alexander the Great, and after that Rome. Rome was in power. Rome actually were the ones that physically killed the Lord, but it was instigated by the Jews. It was a religious thing. That's why John chapter 18 and 19, you see that the words high priest is mentioned many, 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 many times, and they came to get Jesus with weapons. Well, who instigated that? That was the Jews. So it's a religious thing. So now what you're seeing is, because of this war, many Jews, anybody can do a search, just type up Jews leaving Ukraine or Jews leaving Russia. And that's the Lord's way of getting his Jews back down to Israel, because if we're talking rapture very soon, well, then he's got to be doing something to get his people back in that land and get them ready for the Great Tribulation. So that's the bigger picture of this whole thing. Well, hopefully that might help you if somebody asks you, you know, what's going on with the war? Well, that's the retribution and of what happened many years ago. And all you have to do is dial up pogroms, P-O-G-R-O-M-S, pogroms, and you'll get your answer right there. That was the anti-Semitic system. The Russian Bible that was overseen by the priest, pagan priest, they took out the word, if you noticed in your Bible, in the book of Psalms, the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H. It starts in Psalm 3. It's used 74 times in the book of Psalms. Well, in those 74 times, it was deleted out of the Russian Bible because Selah is the rock city called Selah Petra, rock city. And it's a tourist attraction right now. That's in your lower western part of Jordan. And that is exactly where the Jews are going to hide against the Antichrist. But the anti-Semitic slant on it is take it out. So if any Russian Jews read the Old Testament in Russia, you wouldn't have it there. So they wouldn't have to have the revelation of that geographical location and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to tell them, you got to scramble to Selah Petra. So that's the slant of Satan in a translation that's showing his anti-Semitic attitude toward those Jewish people. You see that? So that's the importance of a Holy Bible. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And I'm going to read from somewhere else. Just give you something here. Acts chapter 18. This is the action of the Apostle Paul. I'm going to read you. You don't have to go over there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. For what? Why? For a pattern to them, to you and me, in 2024. Which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So, if you believed on him, you have life everlasting. But the Apostle Paul is a man that was called to suffer a lot. And he is a pattern of long suffering. Not just suffering, long suffering. So, I wanted to know, if he was called to be a pattern of long suffering, what was it that made this man continue on to serve the Lord despite the suffering? What was it in this man's life that kept him going despite all the onslaught, all the backstabbing, all the letting down, and perils here and perils there and perils here and perils there and perils here and perils there, and the shipwrecks and the serpent biting him and all that, you know, and Gentiles after him and his own people, you know, lying about him and this and that and the other. And so I really wanted to know why it could be that a man that was just of flesh like you and me, you know, he's no Superman. He's a regular man just like you and me, made of flesh and blood like you and me. How is it that that man could withstand and deal with all the stuff he had to deal? He did have, say, he had fears within. It does say where we read 2 Corinthians that he was spared of life, that there was actually no hope for him to live anymore, but the Lord delivered him, you see. And so we find here in Acts chapter 18, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. There you find anti-Semitism right in Rome. So you had anti-Semitism, which was very much alive and well, even in the first century. They were against Jews. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, that's Paul, he abode with them, Aquila and Priscilla, and worked, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid. Why? Because he was. But speak, and hold not thy peace. I am with thee. Now that's the key right there. That word, W-I-T-H. I am with thee. Now you want to remember that, because that is the key to all training. When you have a God consciousness of God's presence, that's God and revealing himself, and you're leaving yourself open to his presence and to what the Word of God says, where that can lower your blood pressure. That can calm you down. That can strengthen you. And I call this the presence of God. You don't have to quit. The presence of God, you don't have to quit. And there are many temptations. A lot of people have been tried, including myself, going through a number of things. And I heard a man say, it's never too late to start, and it's always too early to quit. And I've had to deal with that since I've been saved. Especially the more you serve the Lord, the more you're going to catch opposition, and the temptations and the opposition intensifies. Because that's a mark that God is using you and wants to use you. And so a lot of people, they might start something, like I know I was painting as a trade, and when I go into places, I notice how things are painted. And one brother said, well, I had one group of people come in and paint something, and they didn't do all the details, so the second group had to correct what the first group did. And then the second group didn't do all the details, so he had to have a third group in to correct what the second group did, what the first group didn't do. So you got that today. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, with this little time that we do have, we thank you, God, for the songs that we sang. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for Brother Ox here and his ministry here at Gateway Baptist. And God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts now. Show us, dear Lord God, something about your presence and your person and your power and your purpose in our lives. And dear Lord, that we would understand more of your presence. And we ask and pray for the salvation of souls, for the edification of your people, and especially you would get all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul was in Corinth. Corinth was a commercial city, a capital city, a corrupt city. And most of your major cities in America are simply corrupt and corroding. And there's so many drugs and there's all kinds of lust. And if a man wants it, he doesn't have to go far to find sin, especially in his own life. And so he's in a difficult place and a difficult time. And I find people that are in a difficult place at a difficult time and a crucial time in their own lives. And that's the Apostle Paul. And he needed the Lord's presence to remind him. Of course, the Lord back then, before they had the complete revelation of the Word of God in print, he would get a vision and the Lord would actually show up as the angel of the Lord. And that's how it was even in the Old Testament. But now that isn't that way, simply because we have a more sure word, which is the Holy Bible. And so we don't need visions. All we need is a vision by the Holy Spirit of God showing us what the Bible says, especially when you're rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's even in that, no matter what you preach and teach, no matter what you're reading, always keep in mind that we're to study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed by rightly dividing the word of God. We are not Old Testament saints. And so we have a lot more now for us in Christ, sealed forever, circumcised, and so on and so forth in the body of Christ, and thank God for that. But let's go to in verse 9. What does it say here? Be not afraid. That would be assurance. But speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. There is his presence. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. There is the protection. For I have much people in this city. There is the purpose. So when God impresses upon your spirit and heart and mind through the Word of God, God's going to give you assurance. He's going to give you, you're going to acknowledge his presence. He's going to give you assurance that until God says it's over, it's not over. And he wants you to just put one foot in front of the other and carry on for God's sake. And I have much people in the city. Well, there's the purpose. You know, Ruth, she was during the time of Judges, and God gave her handfuls of purpose. And she was a Moabitess. And we're not in the great harvest in America. We're in the gleanings, and Ruth is a virtuous woman. It's a type of the body of Christ. And we're virtuous by the fact that we have Jesus Christ in us. So by practice, we ought to simply just carry on talking to people about the Lord, because God is going to give you handfuls of purpose. Here, there, here, there, here, and there. So I want to address the question, with what little time we have left, how is the Lord with you? Now that's the key, W-I-T-H. That's the key to all training. You saw 2 Timothy 2:15, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So you have to have the Lord with those that sacrifice, that are trainees, and those that are with whom the Lord is walking with, the trainer, where they get together and they're working together. Timothy was with Paul. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch walked with God, and Moses walked with God. You have Elisha with Elijah, Elijah with Elisha. You have Jesus with the disciples with Jesus. You have members that are loyal and giving double honor to a pastor that wants to feed his sheep. You have to have that. It's not idolatry like your fundamentalist friends make it out to be. It's just giving honor to whom honor. And you're respecting the Lord by coming to church, and you're in a local church because a shepherd has sheep. And where there's a sheep going astray, he becomes or she becomes an open target for a lion or for a creature to get it. And so people think that internet or whatever is the substitute of a local church. It will never take to be a substitute. Now, I understand we can use those things, but not abuse those things. It's very important. So I want to address this. How is God with you? Well, first of all, in Colossians, for the sake of time, you read in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is with you judicially because he came into you. So judicially, he's always going to be with you. Thank God for the spiritual circumcision that took place the moment you got saved. So he is with you in person. Okay, that's point number one. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what the Lord is after when you're really going through some things. God wants to see that new man in you come forth and shine. It could be a physical thing. It could be a financial thing. It could be another problem. It could be a social problem. It could be whatever kind of a problem. Despite the problems, God is after that new man inside you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he'll stay there because of Colossians chapter 2, that circumcision made without hands. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. So, first of all, he's with you in his very person. I am with you. He said in our text there in Acts chapter 18 and verse 10, for I am with you. You see that? So you know what you have? You have a more sure word of prophecy to repeat those words than the Lord just saying that out of heaven telling Paul. But that's what Paul needed to give him that purpose to carry on. And he'll be able to suffer a lot of things because he's getting a dose of the presence of God. And that is what's helping him through all the gaff that he had to go through. You see? Because he's a pattern of long suffering. Okay, number two. God is with you in his providence. Now let's go back to the beginning of that chapter, chapter 18, and look at verse 2. And found, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he came to Corinth. So he's traveling from the east, Athens, to the west, Corinth, in Greece. He's going east to west. Now you've got Aquila and Priscilla coming from Rome. That's out west, and they're traveling east. So here's the Apostle Paul, and here's Aquila and Priscilla. What's happening is the Lord just bringing them three together like that. Now, did the Apostle Paul know that he would meet in Corinth Aquila and Priscilla? No, of course not. Did Aquila and Priscilla know that they would meet the Apostle Paul? No, of course not. But that's the Lord's providence. He is with you in his providence. And when you and I stop and think about how the Lord did something in your life that you didn't expect, and that was the Lord's providence because he foresees everything, and he's such a great chess player. While you and I are piddling around with Chinese checkers or checkers, he's playing chess. That's his providence. And so you take one step, he takes 10 steps. You see, he's putting all the pieces in place just for you and me because he loves you and me. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he's always going to put the pieces together by his providence and power when anybody doesn't know what's going on. And there's the Lord just showing you something, saying, wow, that's just unbelievable. But you got to believe it, because that's the Lord, how he's showing you that he's with you. And so little did William Tyndale know, when he was being burned at the stake, Lord opened the King of England's eyes, and the Lord heard that prayer, and with 100 years, here comes a guy named King James, and out comes a King James Bible. And can you imagine, because of the prayer of William Tyndale, that up to the year of 2024, people all around the world that have got a King James Bible, and now the King James Bible in Chinese and Russian and in Ukrainian. And there's William Tyndale just bringing in the gold rewards because he prayed while he's being burned at the stake, and God by his providence answered his prayer, and bingo, 1611 out comes a King James Bible, all the way up to 2024 for you and me and you and me. That is the providence of God Almighty, to show you and me he's with you. I got it covered. That's what he's saying. Okay, we're going to close here. 2 more minutes. He's with you by his power. There's no way God can, in his providence, do what he does outside of the power of God Almighty. Everything is upheld by the word of his power. By the word of his power, he said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and you got everything that is by the power of God. That's way beyond a rocket going into outer space, which has got 175 million horsepower. Well, what is that compared to the power of God that created all the worlds? By faith we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so you got all these worlds held together by the power of God. And when he says, time to fold it up, he's going to do just that. Man, that is a lot of power. Now, power in practice is when you open your mouth and you speak the word of God and people react. Just like the Lord said, I am he, and they all fell down backwards. You know, I mean, what was that? That was nothing for him. Like just knocking a little bug off a table, poof, like that for him with his little finger. There's resurrected power. He arose. There's a power and a personal witness. There's power, prayer power. George Mueller, millions of dollars coming in. He wouldn't tell anybody. He's fed 1,300 people every day for how many years? What is that? Power of God. Okay, then lastly, he's with you. He's with you in his promises. His promises, what God says, he will fulfill. He's going to do what he said. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And there is where God's promises he'll hold true. He says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to talk to you. And it might be a no. Good. At least I know that the door's shut. So then what's next? He'll shut a door, shut a door, shut a door. He'll open a door there. He'll shut another door. He'll shut another door. He'll shut another door. He'll open the door there. And when he answers, it's always better than what we expect. Just like it was when you and I, we got saved. There's no possible way you and I can say that it was better before I was saved than after I got saved. Because God always weans us from something to himself to show us a better way. He's weaning us, weaning us, weaning us. And that's part of the growth of the Christian life. So thank you, Brother Oxier. Thank you, folks, for your time and your patience. Yeah. Whatever y'all want. Any questions? Anybody want to know something about Russia,
about Ukraine, the war. I mentioned in a nutshell. Okay, Genesis 12:3, it says this. I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. You see, that's written down, and that's as good as gold. So our sister asked, why is this war? That's the reason why. And God has his hand on that nation, Israel, and he used a Gentile king to get them scattered around the world. So God will use Gentile kings in various parts of the world to get those Jews back to their homeland. And that is exactly what you are seeing right now. And of course, you're not going to hear that from your preachers or teachers. You're not going to hear that on YouTube, and you're not going to hear it on TV. But it all has to do with God, of the God of the Bible, and his people. And he's going to use Gentiles to get those Jews back into their land. And that's exactly what you're seeing. Genesis 12, John, you might want to write these verses down. Genesis 12:3, okay? John chapter 18 and 19. There you'll see a beautiful picture. Of course, it's not beautiful. I mean, but it is the way the Lord paints the picture here. And this is also as good as gold. Where the instigators to go get Jesus with weapons is the high priest. Well, who is the high priest today? He's sitting in Vatican. The Pope. You have presidents that will go and kiss his hand. But no Pope is going to any country and he's going to bow down to the president, because he knows he's raking in the dough, and he's got all these countries. And you go to Central America, South America, and all these Catholics, and they're impoverished, and they're basically Catholic. Well, that's what they're doing. They're killing. He's orchestrated the Russian Orthodox killing a Ukrainian Orthodox. So the widowers marry Polish Catholics, German Catholics, Czech Catholics, Hungarian Catholics, Spanish Catholics. You see that? He gets more converts that way. He's got less competitors. That's the religious system that is under Satan. And his bride is, now write this down. You wrote down John 18 and 19. And then you write down Revelation chapters 17 and 18. And these things are just as pertinent today as much as John 3:16. It's no less important. And they're just as much active today than people getting saved around the world. It's just as active today. That whore, abomination, mother of abominations, harlot, she's called a whore. That's sound literature words. A harlot and a whore comes from a King James Bible. And that's exactly what's going on. Revelation 17 and 18. Okay, another principle. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. So somebody's rolling in the dough. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6, 10. All right? Now, who are they? Well, these are apostate Jews that know how to make money. Now, where would that principle be? Well, you take Genesis chapter 40, I think it is, and that is Joseph in the land of Egypt. That's a type of the world. So a Jew in the world knows how to sustain a country or break a country. Now, in this point, it was sustain a country. Joseph was used of God to sustain the Pharaoh. He was second only to the king. Okay? Just like you had Daniel in Babylon and the Jews in Babylon. And God raised him up to be second only to Nebuchadnezzar. And in what I can see, Nebuchadnezzar got right. He acknowledged who God was, the God of the Bible. So, you see, there, these are the examples in print for you and me from a holy Bible to understand all this garbage that's going on, and it's the Lord orchestrating every detail, every little detail. It's like he's a orchestra director. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You got the trombones, you got the violins, you got the cellos, you got the choir, the soprano, the alto, the tenor, and the bass, and he's got it all under control. That's the Lord. So I gave you, write down Deuteronomy and the verse. I don't know the verse, Pastor David could tell you. It has to do with the Jews that they could lend to their brothers without usury, but they could lend to the Gentiles with a percentage, usury. And that's exactly what's going on in America. That's exactly what's going on around the world right now. They want to break all the countries. So then they head up a new competitor. And that's what they did down in South America, Central America. They're all poor, basically, and they're all Catholic. So you got NATO, you got the European United Nations, and the Pope's over that. And you got the international bankers working to break all the countries. We're just throwing out more and more, and America is 37, I don't know how many, trillion dollars in debt. That means if you divided that number by how many people are in the country, that would be, for every one of us here tonight, how, you divide in the outcome, the number would be how much every American owes the government that's getting soaked by the international bankers. Now, I don't know, I did my figures, that could be like, it's well over, someone said it, I said 90,000, he said it's a whole lot more than that. So once you're born, you owe automatically $90,000, it's probably, I don't know, it could be, I don't know, $500,000, half a million bucks every year. So, you know, just talking figures, that's the situation America is in. She's broke. And she's getting further and further, and what that does creates an international social situation to where eventually they have to make one currency because the currency in Europe, the different countries, and the currency of the American dollar, and the currency in China, and currency. So it creates all these problems, and then they have to unite everybody to make everything okay, supposedly. You see, they got to create a crisis to try to solve the problem. It's just making people more subjective to them. That's the bigger, you know, framework of what the picture is in the Bible. It's just kind of trying to put the pieces together with the countries and this, and that, and the other. So now we've got 1 Timothy 6:10, we've got Deuteronomy, and then it's, the Lord said that, he said it in Exodus too, so maybe Pastor can show you later on, and check these verses out, because it's interesting. Where you have the Jews, and that's really interesting. All your jewelry stores in all your great big cities in America, they're run by who? Jews. And jewelry, the first three letters of jewelry is J-E-W, Jew. I mean, pardon me? It's great. I mean, how much easier does the Lord have to put it to us? Jewelry, Jew, J-E-W. You see? So you got that. And what else? Well, okay. I showed you Colossians 3:11. Write that down. Colossians 3:11. I mean, I'm holding you over. It's already. It's okay? Okay. Oh. 3:11 is where the word Scythian. Well, if you take an ancient Bible lands map, the word Scythian means scythe. And if you look at an ancient Bible lands map, it's showing you those northern territories up there. The Lord didn't put that word in there accidentally. It's there for a reason. And that was the verse that was the bottom line that broke the camel's back for me. That was it that showed me I'm going to Ukraine. And it's the Midwest. It's the Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, and Michigan of the former Soviet Union, because the soil is very black. Now, if you go down south, you know, Alabama, the soil is red. I'm used to black soil and cornfields and squirrels running around and chipmunks and deer running all over the place. The only thing I see down there, over in Ukraine, that's another story. You don't see too many animals anymore because they had to kill them all because they had an artificial famine in 1931-32 orchestrated by Stalin. So Ukrainians have been raked over to coal because the land is rich, black soil. And they grow corn or sunflower seeds. And it supplied all the wheat and all the bread for all of former Soviet Union. And that's a big spread. You can fit four Americas in all of former Soviet Union. That's a lot of territory. You see? And so you got that. Colossians 3:11. Then you have Acts chapter 16. Write that down there. Acts chapter 16. And Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 8, where they wanted to go to Bithynia. They're going to go north. That's Bithynia's northern Turkey. They were going to head north. They stopped. The Lord said, because the Spirit forbade them not. Now, if they would have gone further north, they would have had to flank the Black Sea, and they would have ended up right in Ukraine. They have an affinity for going north, and they are in those northern territories. And Ukraine is full of Jews. They're all over the place. They're like ants. They're all over the place. And I believe that's why the bombs are coming down, because God's trying to get those Jews out of those northern countries and get them down back into their land. So that's what's going on. And when people want to ask me what's going on, I'm giving them the scripture, and I said, that's it right there. And especially what? Oh, how it relates to Catholicism. Well, there was one slide. There was a guy with a long beard standing next to us. There was a group of guys there. My son-in-law there, and a guy with a long beard. He was an Orthodox priest. I was Orthodox. An Orthodox church, you come in, and everybody's quiet. You don't talk. You know, you're not standing up talking and chatting, just having a good time talking about the Lord and this and that and the other, you know. You sit down, and you got all these what they call icons. These are images of apostles, and he would come out, and they don't have a pulpit in the middle as the center focus upon the Word of God, and the pulpit's off to the side there. He goes up a little steps there, and he'll speak from there, but he comes out, and he's got a long robe on, and he goes through his liturgy. It's like the Mass, and you got a choir. They're singing, you know, this really dirge funeral type of music, you know, and it's to create an atmosphere of holiness, which it really isn't. And then after all that, you know, you get in line, and everybody gets a piece of bread from him, and they have a spoon where he dips into a cup of wine, which is the real hoochie stuff, you know. And, you know, that was many years ago. And all they would do is just wipe that spoon off with a rag. And then the next guy would take it. And then the next guy, I'm thinking, good night. I wouldn't do that for love nor money today, you know? And so that's the Eastern version of the Catholic Mass, where a piece of bread, a wafer, is supposed to be Jesus, and the wine, fermented wine, is supposed to turn into the blood of Jesus. But all that is, you know, a precursor to the cannibalism of people that are going to be killed in the Great Tribulation, where they'll be drinking the blood. Is what? Yes. And then Catholicism. Well, the basic beliefs are just slight. And the Eastern branch, the Orthodox Church, is a little bit not as wicked as the Catholic Church. Because the Eastern branch, they had the influence of the Antiochian influence from which Paul came from.
and they had the better line of manuscripts. But in the end, it still didn't come out good. The Western branch, the Orthodox Church, Rome and Alexandria have a connection there in Acts chapter 6, where Stephen was arguing with these Alexandrians. And then Paul, in Acts chapter 28, took a ship that was from Alexandria going to Rome. So they have that connection, the Alexandrian, which is in Egypt. And the Bible teaches that Egypt is a type of the world. And that's why the Lord didn't want them going down in there. But the Catholic Church has connection with Egypt and Africa, from which comes your Alexandrian manuscripts, your Alexandrian music, African music, your African culture, your African voodooism, which is called Catholicism. You see, it's got its roots in this Hamitic influence, which comes through Babylon. And that's Mystery Babylon, and that Mystery Babylon pops up in Rome, and you got a pope who is supposed to be the mediator, and, you know, the Orthodox Church is weaker than the Vatican Pope. So it's basically the same thing. The roots are from the Babylonian origins of pagan ritualism. But see, you and I, you see a Catholic church there, Catholic church there, Catholic church there, Catholic church, and everything's supposedly hunky-dory. That's because they can't take advantage of us now, at least, like they did during the Dark Ages. And so when it gets bad and the body of Christ gets so weak and so weak, when it's time for them to pounce, the devil's going to pounce and use law and legislation for us. If you have a Bible, they're going to put you in jail. And anyway, someone else had a question. Ma'am. The what? Well, I think he'll come through Rome. But I think his origins, this is only my opinion, a man from Kerioth, I think that will be repeated. He'll come from the east. He'll have a mixed blood. But in the end, I believe he will come through Rome. And but I don't know if someone like the Pope, I think he's behind the scenes if he's living right now. And he's behind the scenes. Maybe he's a Jesuit priest right now. So I don't know. But if the Lord comes back soon, that means he has to be living right now. He's not been exposed. He's behind the scenes right now. The Pope would be like a forerunner. He would be like a prophet, you know, that's kind of like the forerunner to the guy that's behind the scenes. And they're never going to expose him right now, because we already know who. He's gonna his descriptions. He's gonna have a bad right eye, a bad right arm. He's got to be a young man, 30 years old, and so far, he's not on the scene yet. I don't believe he's gonna be an elderly man. If he's gonna be like Jesus Christ, he's got to be a young man, because when Jesus Christ comes, the first time he came as a 33-year-old man, 30 years old. So, he's like my son-in-law. He's 31, I think, right now. So I'm looking at my son-in-law, I'm thinking, well, the guy's got to be around 30 years old when he shows up. Yeah, bad right eye, and he'll have a dried-up arm. Pardon? Yeah, Zechariah 11, 17. Write that down, Zechariah 11, 17. Pardon? Oh, okay. Yeah, I just thought about that too. He may not have that while we're here. It may come while he's going to be exposing himself. And I'm not even so sure that we will even see him. I'm not sure about that. And I believe the only reason I'm just thinking right now, the Lord wants us to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, not get sidetracked with all this stuff. It's good to have some knowledge about it, what the Bible says generally, basically about it, but people can get so caught up with that So I think the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, or looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I believe, you know, we're to keep our eyes on him. And the most important thing, I believe, would be just to have that spirit and attitude of expecting him today. You know, that's where you get the crown of righteousness, where you're okay, Lord, maybe today. Okay, Lord, help me to live for you today. All right. Well, thank you very much.